So moved.
Second, Ms. Cowan, is there any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those same sign. Motion passes five to zero. This time we'll open it up for public comment. From the audience, some questions or comments. On the two-part consent agenda. Tonight's consent agenda includes our board meeting minutes from the executive session and our regular board meeting, our board final dance meeting, all three of those were held on January 11th. Our public work session held on February 8th of this month. Fund and expenditure summary reports, accounts available vouchers, and payroll account claims for personnel report donations, fundraising resources. Can I get a motion in a second to approve the consent agenda? Ms. Cowan. Second, Mr. Walker, is there discussion?
I just want to clarify on the tennis donation. It's a CTEC corporation, and I'm confident that that's not CTEC as in this building, but I just wanted to clarify since this is out for public. Oh, that's what it is, the donor. School donor, it says donor.
I think, are you asking just who is the?
CTEC Corporation. It's a corporation, it's that first line. So it's coming to us, to Greg Orr, for the tennis athletics for $15,000, and the donor is, and it says CTEC Corporation.
Do you know that, is Caitlin?
Do we know? But it's just a, we can just confirm it's not this building or this school somehow donating to ourselves.
Correct, we're not.
So if somebody sees it, which, I mean, I was pretty confident, but because it's the same name, I just wanted it on record.
No.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. We will jump now into our discussion items, starting with Central 9 report, Ms. Downer.
So we met for Central 9 a couple of times this month. The regular board meeting was on February 11th, and we did reorganization just like we do here. We had a presentation from the resource officer presentation, which was very nice. Reviewed how we're using the lobby guard, which is how you sign in for Central 9.
exactly. A nice community.
Yeah, they're very pleased, so that's where they're going to build for next year. And just so you know, it's usually a 2-year process to build a house. They build the outside of the house the first year, so they need covenants of the neighborhood, and then they'll do the inside the second year. They are continuing with the dual credit discussion and trying to decide which programs they want to be full dual credit programs. Right now they work with Vincent's, Ivy Tech, IUPUI, and they have one program with Trine as well. But they are continuing to expand that as well. The other project that they're working on, which has a lot of significance or with us, is that they did issue the RFI for that construction project, and we talked a little bit about that last month. The way we got to that project was we looked at the priorities for Central 9 campus. That actually started a year and a half ago, I believe. Could even have been 2 years ago. And we did that looking at the priorities for the campus itself, the building, the campus, and then the priorities for students. So that resulted in an RFI. And then we met after those RFIs came in. We had a small group of board members that narrowed down the RFI. And then we met as a full board and narrowed down that RFI even more to see who we wanted our architect to move forward. So we did that last board meeting on the 11th. We interviewed three firms, and we recommended making an award to so that's where Central 9 is. They will be working with Lancer and BB to refine the scope and the details of that project, and then we'll work with Baker and cost estimates. If you remember, and Brett has been involved in some of those conversations as well, it's really a 4-year program. Our project, and we'll be looking at prioritizing those projects based on the priority not only of the building but also of the students as well. So we know things like the welding is a top priority for Central 9 to expand, and there's a couple of safety things that will need to be addressed quickly, but other things will be down the road. It could be 2 and 3. So that's kind of how we're looking at prioritizing. The superintendents are involved as well. And the costs are based on the assessed valuation of the cost as well. But it was very nice to be included and to really think about how to expand Central 9, looking at solar opportunities, opportunities, not just expanding the property, but looking at how do we improve. It was a nice opportunity for all.
Quick question. Do the students get involved, Ms. Downer, in the permitting process? Because permitting is very difficult in Central Indiana and surrounding counties now. And I was wondering if the students are adversed, or is that part of their learning curve on how to get building permits and that type of thing?
So they were the year before last. I don't know if they have been this year, but I will definitely ask.
I'm just curious.
When they did the house. I don't know if they have been in the building that they're building on the property. But they're supposed to be from every aspect of building that house. So
okay.
That would be included.
Yeah, I'm just curious if they are, because it's tough now.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Ms. Downer? Great report. Moving on to the FTEF report, I attended the January 22nd meeting of FTEF and then last Friday's meeting on the 18th, I believe, or 19th, and great meeting. The FTEP is working on, obviously they wanted me to make sure to put on the record that the classroom and building grants application is currently open, and it'll be open through March 14th at midnight. The scholarships that FTEP manages, those are open currently, and they'll be open through April 5th of this year until midnight. The big news, of course, is making sure that everybody knows to not expect the fast flash this spring like it normally is, but expect a bigger and more expanded fast flash to coincide with the opening weekend of the fall semester. So that the 28th annual fast flash will be scheduled for Saturday, July 31st, and looking to really beef it up with the PTOs involved, the different mascots from the schools, clubs, sports, other activities such as think like cornhole, ladder ball, dunk tank, and other food trucks. So really trying to beef up the event around not just the 5K, but make it really kind of a day for all of the community to celebrate the start of the school year. And definitely have your calendars marked for the 25th annual Golf for Kids. That's on September 17th of 2021. So lots of dates to add to your calendar already. Talked about just how grateful everyone was on all the kindergartners and sixth grade math students who received those dry erase boards and markers, and the buildings who received the bags of essential supplies to help with mid-year replenishment needs. And the Thankful for You grant still remains open with available funding. So this grant reimburses our educators for district-approved programs for online instruction, which we know is more critical than ever this school year, and our educators are extremely appreciative for that grant. So still funds for educators who might want to take advantage of those. And then finally, the supply replenishment / dry erase board markers and Thankful for You grants have definitely been great for the staff morale. And Diane reported all the great feedback that and thank you notes that we've gotten to the foundation for their support. So just some things to note from FTEF. Moving on to the legislative session report, I didn't check, but they were definitely still debating when I left my home tonight. The first half of the session is wrapping up this week. This is a long session, so statutorily the legislature has to be done with their work by April 29th of this year, so a couple more reports from me on the legislative side as we move through our board meetings, our regular board meetings. I put in front of the board obviously because it's a budget year, the budget's really the big ticket item that has to be completed by the 29th, and you'll see that this is a long process. So this is the House Republicans' first step of the process. So in terms of new increased funding for the entire K-12 system, if you go to the second page, you'll kind of see how their formula helps our district specifically. And again, these are numbers. I'm going to pass it over to Fred here, but these are numbers that the state came up with. I don't think we provided these numbers, to my knowledge. Correct, Fred? So, you know, we're a growing district, so the formula reflects that. Fred, I'll let you kind of talk about some of the comments, you and your foundation.
If you look at actually the second page first.
Okay.
State totals. And kind of maybe like 2 inches down, you got 7.3 million and 7.6 million, and sorry, billion, 7.3 billion, 7.6 million. See in the far right there, it says 2.5%. To the $7,797,000,000.
Yep.
So the way the budget proposal was a 1.25% increase in the first year and a 2.5% increase in the second year. Well, the 2.5, you can circle it, that it is, okay? But if you look to the left of that, in the first year, they have 3.9%, which is much more than 1.25. Well, what they've done because I know you've passed out kind of like our run.
Right.
But if you look at Perry and Warren and all the other school corporations, they're assuming that everybody's losses are coming back, plus you're having growth. So, for example, on our page, they have us going up 320 kids, okay, which in our case may be possible. But in Perry's Erie's case, for example, they have them going up 800 and some odd kids, almost 900, which talking with their CFO, there's sort of no way that they're going to get that back. They're really overinflated those pupil numbers in the first year, in my opinion. And then the second year, it kind of gets back to the normal growth. So there's the debate, is there really money still in that first year? And the kind of the hedge in the bet is well, they're really not going to spend that money because it's really only 1.25% increase. And if the people don't show up because the money follows the kids, then that money's left over to fund maybe the voucher program or whatever that's also being proposed.
Right.
So like you said, it's early in the process. Right now, though, the funding formula, assuming you had zero increase in enrollment, is supposed to be 1.25% in the first year and 2.5% in the second. But since the money follows the kids, if you have an increase in enrollment, then your revenue could increase, too. So.
And conversely, the other way, decrease.
Right, and if it decreases, it could also decrease some. So. And for this current school year, at least at the September beginning of the school ADM count, we were the only school corporation, I believe, in Marion County that had an increase in enrollment. Everybody else decreased. And so the way their fund, like I said, the way their formula is running is they're assuming all those people are coming back plus growth in all cases.
So we'll continue to watch this, as Fred mentioned. So, you know, some different priorities in the House, a specific grant program for learning loss that they funded that may or may not make it through the process. The Senate has different priorities, but definitely has been a push to try to provide monies to help with individual school district needs on how to catch students up who may or may not have been, you know, who have been affected negatively by the pandemic, as well as the choice scholarship expansion, and obviously people have a lot of different opinions on that subject. So that will continue to work itself through the legislative process as we move forward. So a long slog till April, but I know it'll be here before we know it. So that's my legislative update for the evening. Moving on into action items, our first item will be to approve the conflict of interest disclosure statements, and we have submitted forms from Ms. Scowen and Ms. Folk. I know Don's going to work on getting hers submitted formally for our next meeting, so we'll get that for the 15th of March. Can I get a motion to, first so we can open any discussion about it in a second, to approve the conflict of interest disclosure statements? Motion, Ms. Folk. Second, Ms. Gowan. Is there any discussion on the conflict of interest forms? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of approval, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes 5-0. Action item B, I will pass over to Mr. McCorder. Approval to move forward with the Kittley Intermediate Edition.
Yes, sir. Thank you. As you all know, on February 8th, the board had a work session to go through to talk about needs at Kittley Intermediate and the need for an addition due to growth that we've been seeing. Remember the map of Franklin Township I brought to that meeting showed all the new subdivisions that were going in. Tyler, can you put up that PowerPoint, please? Thank you. Just going to briefly go through some of the slides. We also have our professional partners out in the audience if I get stumped on a question that I can't answer. But as we just talked about a second ago, our enrollment, let's talk about why Kittley Intermediate School. One is our district enrollment data, which I'll go over here in a second, is increasing tremendously. 200 plus a year is what our demographic study is. This year we're up 309 so far through the second semester compared to last year. In the past 4 years, we've increased 1,400 students K-12 for the district. Why Kittley versus Edgewood? Well, Kittley is an older building. It has more needs and for a facility study book. By combining this project with that, this makes sense from a financial standpoint to deal with those building maintenance things at the same time. And Kittley showing more growth than Edgewood when we roll up our grade our students to the next grade level. And then the physical limitations, it's, I'm the only allowed us to really do one project. We talked briefly at some point in the future, we'll probably look at a referendum, but this will keep us along. Just like we're doing the junior high project now, we can do the Kittley Intermediate and still keep where the tax bill does not increase due to this project. Proposed project. So essentially, we'd like to do an addition and little renovation to the certain areas of the building so that we can bring the capacity to 1,500. Incorporates the facility study that I mentioned previously, dealing with some of the HVACs, the air quality issues that, you know, the CARES Act and things like that. People have been into the topic and the topic of conversation recently. No increase in residential tax bill. The proposed debt that we would issue to reimburse ourselves would be below, would be under the tax cap, not over the tax cap. Hard construction costs we anticipate be approximately $14.3 million. Total project costs, when you throw in soft costs with architects, financing, loose equipment, technology, all those other things, about $17.4 million. We'll use existing cash on hand to minimize capitalized interest cost. So even though it's $17.4 million possible, we would issue no more than $16.5 million, so we would take any balance out of our rainy day, which is at its highest. Enrollment history, just kind of a quick recap, up 233 at September. When we roll everybody up, we think we could be an additional 312 come next school year, and then I got us another 260, 270 going out further. Our current enrollment, where it shows we're up 309 K-12 compared to last school year. Again, we are the only school in Marion County that I'm aware of that has an increase in enrollment. And then this is just where you rolled everybody up. From an architectural standpoint, this is what the existing picture, overhead picture of it is. We have the two cross wings, and then we have the combined space where we have performing arts areas, then we have the gym and cafeterias. New proposed would be to add this corridor in the center, connecting the two cross sections here, adding on an additional gym and some cafeteria space, taking existing cafeteria space and turning that into performing arts area, more than doubling the current existing space that we have available for that. It's kind of this like a roof rendering, so from the outside it would look very similar to what the existing building does. Another way to look at it, essentially adds a net 12 additional classrooms, because we have to tear some classrooms on the end off in order to connect these two properly. But it gives us three ways of egress out to the bus area, where we currently have two. It also makes it easier to get from the north side to the south side of the building by providing this other corridor here on this end instead of having to all funnel through this way. Building from a safety security standpoint, we can still coordination off to keep the educational classroom space separate from the other areas. Have multiple events going on in the building. Timeline-wise, people don't really realize, but it takes a while to do this. We're here February. And so if everything goes through with bidding and planning and architectural design, get the bids out, construction, we're hoping to be finished here come July, August of 2023. So for the 23-24 school year. So essentially 2 years now from today, whatever, is when we would be able to utilize the building. So we're hopeful that we have, that gives us, that it, our growth doesn't grow so much that we can move in without having to put any portables or anything. This is just hard cost breakdown, $13 million plus some alternates for South Bypass and some additional roofing over that flat area. We just did the shingled roofing this past year. From a financial standpoint, we shared this information, and so this is our current existing debt. Another way to look at it in a picture form is this. You can see we have some debt falling off here. Falling off here in the future. So timing-wise, it makes sense. We would issue no more than, we're about to issue $10 million bonds for our junior high project here in March. This project would be $16.5 million. So when you layer that in, that's where the junior high project. So this project, we're looking at two different ways, kind of flexible, either to kind of do it over a four-year period, keeping it below where our peak is right now, or depending on how assessed valuation and everything ends up going, which we won't know till later in the year, which we wouldn't issue these bonds till much later in the year. Like
I was going to remember to have you ask. We don't have to make the call on what financing.
No, we'll so. Pass. We'll have. I'll get into it in a second, but we'll have a couple different hearings in March to go over some finances. We'll give maximums, which will give the board flexibility, and then based on how things play out with assessed valuation and growth and bids and things like that, then we can decide what's the better outcome for us, because this option only pays back over 3 years versus the previous option paying over four. But there's other factors that are involved. So, for example, we have opportunities to refinance some bonds in 22 and 23. So if rates, which goes to this next slide, stay low, like they are now at historic lows, that gives us things to think about. Whereas if the rates start to creep up between now and in the next 6 months, you know, then, you know, maybe we choose another option. So we'll rely on Baker Tilly and Ice Miller to help us with those decisions. And then as far as the timeline goes, it would be subject to opposition if people were against this project. So we are going to have a public hearing, which we would need to have a public hearing March 8th, a special board meeting. And then we would need to come back at a regular board meeting on March 15th, a week apart. And so we would essentially go back over this information again. This would be open to the public, so anybody can come in and ask questions. We will try to answer them the best we can, and then move forward. So basically at this meeting, what we need is just a motion and a second and approval to move forward, and then we'll just move forward with the process and then answer any questions that you may have, public may have. At this point, I haven't got any questions since we had the work session, so from the board, so.
Slide it.
Do what?
That's good as you put the slide. Bill shows us at every meeting we have.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my favorite slide. You always want to be, questions you always wanted to ask, but are afraid to look stupid, don't worry, be stupid. So.
I will go ahead and, so we can have any other further discussion, entertain a motion and a second to move forward with the Kittley Intermediate Addition.
So moved.
With Mr. Walker.
Second.
Second, Ms. Folk. Is there any discussion?
I had one question. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, can I clarify, what are we moving forward with? I know it's...
You're moving forward with them.
I know it's an improvement of Kittley, but like what specifically?
Hey, Jane, you know, can you help me on this question?
Are we tied down to anything specific, any amount of money? What did that motion entail?
It is authorizing.
So then in those future meetings, there'll be resolutions that have specific dollar amounts and things like that in.
Great question, Ms. Donner. Larry, I think you had a question.
Okay. During this process, we're shooting for 2022-2023 school year?
23-24
Have we considered any redistricting during that time, or is that on the table?
Well, that's what we essentially did. So we did the grade configuration change and a little bit of redistricting so that we could create the space we needed in our elementary schools. And so then it brought our buildings that were over capacity down to basically just the junior high and the two intermediate schools. We're addressing the junior high this year. So it basically leaves the two intermediate schools as the two buildings that are in the both of them are currently at 93% capacity. So sure. Kittley is supposed to be projected to be about 97% capacity next year. So there's really no place to send them. You could send a few to Edgewood, but it wouldn't be enough to stop the need for additional space.
Okay.
And vice versa, we may end up having to send from vice versa because we just don't know exactly where the growth is going to occur. You have an idea where it's going to occur.
So the plan
is to have 1,000 kids per grade level capacity, and so okay. this would be make it. It would get that to 1,500, and Edgewood would still be at 12. And then in the future, either through a referendum or a separate project, we would take Edgewood to 1,500.
It makes sense because a lot of the open farmland is in where Larry and Don and I live on that side of the township. So
the first house popped up in Southport Road and that right across from South Creek.
And Wanamaker and all the other places. So.
Yeah, I'm tracking over 1,000 housing parcels right now.
Any further discussion before we proceed to vote? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries 5-0. Up next, the approval of the architect and construction manager agreements. Are we doing these together or separate, Mr. Porter?
You can do them either way. I think it's just as easy to do them as one.
Okay, but, all right.
The recommendation would be to approve the architect and construction manager contracts that we presented. This is, if you go back to the... that back, Tyler, that timeline, that PowerPoint. Yeah, sorry. Now, can you turn it to where I can click it? Right there. No. Okay. So this allows us to keep moving with design phase of the construction documents so that we can get to this point on time. Because if we wait, then it kicks this thing out further. And so we would use our existing cash to pay this. We would have, assuming everything gets approved in the future with the financing, then we would pass a reimbursement resolution in which we could reimburse.
So we can have further discussion. Is there a motion and a second to approve the architect and construction manager agreements?
So moved.
Moved Mr. Walker, second Ms. Gowan. Is there discussion?
I asked for proposals from the architect and from the construction manager. The reason we selected Fanning Howie is because they're the ones that originally designed the building to begin with, so it made sense to use the architect who designed the building. And Skillman has been our long-time construction management firm that has worked with us. And based on the fees that they're charging, they're in line with percentage. It's about 5.5% on the architect contract, which is right in line with what architectural firms on those projects charge. Can you find somebody cheaper? Absolutely. Find somebody more expensive? Absolutely. But that's the thing about with services is you pick what's the best fit for your guys. It's not like a widget or supplies where everything is uniform and we're buying the same pencil or pen or computer. Public works or public purchases. Requirement that we do that. It also delay the process another month, two, three, depending on how long you want to.
All right, any other questions?
So did we talk about, which is a little bit different, but not, so did we talk about solar power, geothermal, because it's not been in any other location, so I'm just curious.
Not at Kittley. We have explored solar at the middle school. I'm sorry, yeah, junior high. Typically, it's more expensive.
It wasn't presented by the same firms that two firms did present it, one firm didn't. That's why I'm curious. So I'm wondering if it's a preference of the firm versus.
No, it's.
So C9 is going to do a geothermal or.
I don't know if it's geothermal. We are pursuing solar.
You also have to have land to put solar on, and there is no land to put solar on there. And the only alternative would be to put it on the roof. And so when you put it on the roof, then you have all kinds of cost on when the roof is due to be replaced in 20 years. You got to remove all the solar panels.
So basically, it could be a larger investment up front with some cost savings in the back end. But
if you consider the replacement cost down the road, it may not be any cost savings.
Right.
It's not always. Geothermal is a lot more expensive on the front end with no guarantee on the back end.
And you got to have a geothermal field. That is your parking lots. Parking lot, now you're going to have to repave your parking lot.
Different things to consider, clearly.
This wasn't an energy savings project. This is trying to house our kids that are coming to us.
Yeah, but I would hope we would always think about things.
Well, we've actually just done like all of the LED lighting in the entire district to save money thus far. And like Fred said, we have looked at solar perhaps on the junior high project because we do have extra land that we're currently not using.
Good information to hear and good questions to ask. Any other questions before we move forward with the vote? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 4-1. Any new business for the board? Any old business? Superintendent Con.
Yeah, today I announced a cabinet. We have 4 days left in February. So, and we only have 19 school days until spring break and 40 days after. And normally those are milestones that kids check off and we check off as educators and give some hoorays to. But this year, considering we're all wearing masks, etc., it means even more that, considering if you watch the national news and the state news, a lot of school districts don't have kids in person. But we have, our staff's done a great job, and we continue to praise them and are thankful for their work. So that's right. Here we are.
Thank you, Dr. Everett. Board comments?
Yes, I'd like to congratulate Lindley Schoen on getting her doctorates. So. I didn't think you can get it done.
No one ever thinks you can get it done.
Congratulations.
Any other board comments? Dr. Hibbert and I had a great kind of game plan for our work sessions that we put forward on the calendar as optional, so we'll try to announce those at the meeting before the board meeting before we would potentially have a work session. So we clearly have a plan in place to meet in 2 weeks. Granted, it's going to be more of a quasi-board meeting because of the Kittley project, but we will be kind of discussing a little bit more some of the original CARES money we got and what we plan to do with our supplemental that we got in December. So if you have questions or have a kind of want to deep dive anything specific so that Fred and company can come prepared, please send that in advance. So we'll see everybody on March 8th. Then, if there's seeing no further comments, the meeting is adjourned at 6:42.